Welcome to the Follow Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:18 British Summer Time. Today is October 6th. Well, this has been a rather momentous day on a number of fronts, and the day kicked off with the Royal Bank of Australia raising interest rates by a quarter of 1%, and that set the tone for much of the day. Of course, that was a vote of confidence to an extent in the Australian economy's ability to sustain the recovery that has been underway. And of course, Australia was only in recession or was able to avoid recession almost entirely. And that's a net positive. Of course, Australia's big trading partners are in Asia, and the majority of the Asian countries also avoided recession. And Australia, of course, has also been able to attract a significant amount of investment into particularly the commodities sector, and has helped to keep that particular sector going through the worst of the credit crisis. They now have the luxury of being picky about who they allow to buy up parts of their commodity complex. But what we continue to see is that there is the world of difference between the countries that were less affected by the credit crisis and those that were more affected. And with Australia beginning to raise interest rates and signaling in no uncertain terms that they're going to continue to do so, we are seeing the interest rate differentials widening between the less affected and the worst affected countries. And that is the one solid fundamental in the currency markets, and helps to put a sound fundamental reason behind the strength of the commodity-related currencies. Australia is the first of the major economies to raise interest rates. It certainly won't be the last. And we can probably anticipate that other commodity-producing countries will not be too far behind in raising interest rates, and interest rates are probably likely to rise in emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America before they begin to rise in the USA, Europe, the UK, and Japan. So it is relatively easy to see where the weak currencies are going to be and where the strong ones are going to be. The dollar carry trade is certainly the funding currency of choice over the last 6 months, and the consistent downtrend for the US dollar has fed into a consistent advance for risk type assets, primarily stock markets. In Asia today, the majority of indices were finished in positive territory. Indonesia hit new highs, but in Europe, the majority of indices were up over 2%, and the Dow Jones and S&P were both up 1.37%, and the Nasdaq was up 1.7%. So today's weakness in the US dollar was a support for risk type assets, and none more so than gold, which finished up on the day 24.40 and hit a new all-time high at $1,041. Now, in inflation-adjusted terms, that's probably not a new high, but certainly the very fact that gold has been consolidating again for 18 months and appears to be breaking upwards certainly suggests that the type of potential upside that many of us have felt that gold was capable of putting in could be on the cusp of coming to fruition. A saw from the chart seminar is that if the market has further to go now, it will sustain the upside break, which means that it does need to sustain the move above $1,000. We do not want to see it pushing back below $1,000, because that would suggest that we don't have the pocket of or the vacuum of supply above the market that should have been thinned out by the 18-month long range. There are still plenty of people waiting to buy gold at significantly lower levels, and today's positive action suggests that they may have to raise their bids. The powerful move that we saw over the last 2 days, which put almost $50 onto the market, has pressured some of the short positions that would inevitably have built up in the ranging phase that's been taking place, centered around $1,000 over the last month. And a downward dynamic would really be needed to question scope for gold not to be able to push onwards to new high ground. And with gold up quite significantly in here today, high beta gold, which is silver, was up 82 cents and pushed straight through $17 and finished the day at 17.36, and has maintained its progression of higher lows, found support around $16, exactly where it should have to remain absolutely consistent. And there is nothing on that chart that suggests that silver can't continue to push onwards to new recovery highs. Platinum was up $20 in here today, so pushed through $1,300 yesterday and improved upon that performance today. And it's another one of these charts which has a rivetingly consistent progression of higher reaction lows. The fact that the dollar was that bit weaker in here today and went back down and looked at the 76 area on the dollar index, and the euro pushed back above 147 in here today. Other currencies such as the Australian dollar were stronger by a full cent. The Canadian dollar was stronger by almost 1 cent. The pound, interestingly, was weaker in here today against the US dollar and remains vulnerable in the short term. Looking at the performance of stock markets relative to what we're seeing in currencies, there is an inverse correlation. We're seeing this rivetingly consistent downtrend for the US dollar, and we can contrast that with the consistency of the advances in risk type assets. And that has been the status quo for much of the last 3 months, and until we see it breaking down, the chances are that it will remain in place. Now, if we put ourselves in the position of someone who is entering into carry trades, raising US dollars with a view to investing them in another asset, you would be looking around the world today, and we already know that a number of stock markets remain in these consistent advances, but have been rallying significantly for much of the last 6 months. On the other hand, gold appears to be just completing an 18-month consolidation, and platinum, silver, palladium, and gold shares have significant catch-up potential. One, at least I would tend to think that is where the better returns are likely to be relative to what is currently available in the wider stock market, from the simple point that the precious metal universe, particularly gold, is less overextended, particularly relative to its 200-day moving average, than some of the better performing stock markets. And that could be a source of investment demand for gold if it can sustain this upward break, and there's nothing to suspect that it will be unable to do so. In the government bond sector, we saw that the US Treasuries broke upwards to new recovery highs late last week, and they continue to hover in the 122 area, so they've sustained that upward break. And that does also suggest that people are looking for some kind of safe haven against deflationary fears. Gold could possibly fall into that kind of bracket as well. But where the one potential headwind for gold at this point is from stock markets. If we do see stock markets breaking their progression of higher reaction lows, that would also correspond, in all likelihood, with a larger dollar rally, and that would be a headwind for gold at this point. So, with a view to monitoring gold's consistency characteristics and its potential upside, one would have to keep an eye on the other related markets, because the interrelationships between markets have come so much more to the fore in the last year than I think a lot of people were paying attention to prior to the credit crisis, when we had those big drawdowns last year across just about every asset class and sector, with the absolute exceptions of the US dollar and the yen and treasuries, with just about every risk asset being sold off aggressively in that period. The interrelationships between markets, I think, are much more on people's minds today than they were then, and that is something that is a lesson to take away from the experience of the last year, because the chances are that when the status quo breaks down, it's going to result in a reactionary type environment spreading across a number of asset classes simultaneously. And I should reiterate that there is no evidence that that is happening today. And we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside to these consistent uptrends until they lose that consistency. And when they do lose that consistency, reactions are likely to be limited to reversions towards the mean, provided the accommodative monetary policy, which has been in place for much of the last year, remains a tailwind rather than a headwind. We've probably begun the road towards it becoming a headwind with Australia beginning to raise interest rates, and we can anticipate that more countries will follow that lead in the coming months. But we are still a very long way away from the stimulus packages that are out there and the extraordinarily accommodative monetary policy turning into a headwind for markets. That's still likely to be a number of years from where we are today, and we are still in the early stages of a secular or a multi-year bull market for a number of asset classes. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.